Revelation chapter number 2, and we'll continue our study in the book of Revelation. Not necessarily the whole book of Revelation, but if you're visiting with us, we started a study on the seven churches of the book of Revelation. Those seven churches are found in chapter 2 and chapter 3. You'll find, I think, four churches found in chapter 2 and then three churches found in chapter 3. Somewhere along in there. Revelation chapter number 2, we dealt with last week the church at Ephesus. Now, if you'd like to see a list of those churches, there they are. There's all seven of those. Ephesus is in chapter 2. Smyrna's in chapter 2. What we're going to be dealing with tonight, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, the church of Philadelphia, and the church of Laodicea. Those are the seven churches mentioned in chapter 2 and chapter 3. And those were actual literal places. When John wrote from the Isle of Patmos, these churches actually did exist there. And that gives you some idea. And there's you another little map. You looked at that same map last week. And so a lot of those places are scattered out. Modern day Turkey, Asia Minor, over there in that area is where they are. Now, here is the layout of what we've been studying. You'll see that all seven churches are laid out from the cross all the way until the rapture of the church. That's when the Lord comes and we go up to meet Him in the air and we go to heaven to be with Him forever and ever. I hope it's tonight. I don't know about you, but there's not a problem in the world that I have that the rapture cannot take care of. And there's a lot of people over there I'd like to go see. And a lot of people over there I'm waiting to get to see. And the Lord's waiting on me there. And that's going to be a good day. I'm about to get wound up on the rapture. Hallelujah. And I can't wait to go, and that's a good day. Now, these seven churches, the way we're going to deal with them tonight and the way we have been dealing with them is in a spiritual sense. Let me give you a for instance. Let's picture the church at Ephesus. It pictures a time frame of the church age about 30 A.D. to 100 A.D., somewhere along in there, 100, 150, somewhere along in there. In other words, that was the apostolic age. That's when all the apostles were here. And we read all of that last week about they were coming into the church saying, hey, we're apostles. And the church says, well, prove it. And so on and so forth. We dealt with that last week. Now we're going to move to the next era, of the church age, and that's the church of Smyrna. This is the Roman persecution church. Smyrna means myrrh, persecuted. Myrrh is what they buried the body of the Lord with. Death, bitterness, suffering, tribulation, trials, things of that nature. This is what that church went through. Now listen, folks, this is the church age laid out into seven different periods, and this is what we're doing. We started out with the church of Ephesus. Well, the apostolic age is over with. You know, we don't have apostles anymore. We dealt with that. Now we're going to move to the Smyrna period, around 200 to 350 A.D., somewhere along in there. The Roman persecution. We'll get into those in just a minute. Then next week we'll go to Pergamos. Then Thyatira, then Sardis, the Church of the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, Wycliffe, Martin Luther, some of those guys that were just a great time period. And then the Church of Philadelphia, the Church of the Open Door, the Brotherly Love. That's the time period, if you will, when we come over on the Mayflower and the door swung wide open. The church of the open door. Missionaries started going out, spreading the gospel all over the world. The church of the open door. The brotherly love. Philadelphia. Now today, the age we live in today, is the church of Laodicea. The church of Laodicea is the church that is neither cold nor hot. That's the age that we're living in today. People we're in apostasy, if you don't realize that by now. If you haven't looked around you lately, look around. We are living in the age of apostasy, the church of Laodicea. What does that mean? That means we're very, very close to the coming of the Lord. You get ready. Look up, redemption draweth nigh. And Revelation chapter 4 verse 1 says, John said, I looked, behold, a door was open in heaven. And I heard a voice that said, come up hither. And the church is leaving up out of here. I tell you, you say, what about the roof? We ain't worried about the roof. We're going through the sprinkler system and all. We ain't worried about a thing. I'm going up. But we got a long way to go before we get there. We're going to deal with the church of Smyrna tonight. And that deals with what we've already said, myrrh, persecution, bitterness, death. I don't know how many of you have read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Fox's Book of Martyrs deals with Roman persecution of the Christians of this age. You have to realize, folks, after the cross, people got saved. They trusted Christ. But that wasn't popular. These people were persecuted. Jesus told his disciples, said, you go and spread the gospel. Go ye in all the world, preach the gospel. Preach, you know, so on and so forth. Acts 1:8, so on and so forth. Start at Judea, Samaria, and all the othermost parts of the world. Well, disciples didn't go very far. They pretty well wanted to stay in their hometown. Now watch what God does. God created persecution upon them to get them to do what he asked them to do to begin with and to get them to disperse. So when persecution started in Jerusalem, well, they said, man, let's move over there where they ain't persecuting us so bad. Well, that's what all God wanted you to do to begin with. Get the gospel out. Stop staying at the house. Get the gospel out. Hey, folks, there's a lesson right here. Our mission is not within these walls. Our mission field is outside these walls. We're not sitting here waiting on just waiting on. Well, they'll come. They'll, you know, we go. No, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Amen. And sometimes God will cause persecution to get us to get uncomfortable in the nest and get out and go do what he wanted us to begin with. Now, Jesus told his disciples over there in John 15, he said, they've persecuted me. Don't think they're not going to persecute you. Right. Just because you get saved doesn't mean there's not going to be any persecution. Now, I must say, what I'm going to deal with tonight, we haven't seen that kind of persecution. You know, we think, well, we talk to somebody about the Lord and they slam a door in their face. Oh, we've been persecuted. No, friend, that ain't persecution. Right. Not compared to what we're going to talk about tonight. We don't know persecution like what some of these guys went through. And so here, let's read in chapter number 2. And let's look at verse number 8. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the first and the last. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. This is a good phrase. You could preach half a day on this. He was dead and now is alive. Buddha can't say that. Amen. Muhammad can't say that. Right. Muhammad can say was dead and still is dead. Yeah. Allah and whoever else. The sun, moon, God, and and big fat Buddha, and whatever. If they was writing the Bible, they would say, and Buddha was dead, still is dead, never will be alive. But when you're talking about Jesus, it says he's the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. That's what separates Christianity from the rest of the world. We're the only religion that's got a God that's seated on the right hand of God the Father in heaven. Verse 9, God says, Jesus says, I know thy works and tribulation. Look at that. I know your works and tribulation and poverty. But then he says, but thou art rich. Well, look here. Sometimes people look on the outside and they say, well, this church is rich. because he got this, that, and the other, whatever. We got lands and we got this, whatever. Well, hold your place. Look at chapter 3 and verse 17. Talking about the church of Laodicea. This is the age we're living in today. This is what he said about them. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and what? Well, look at that. The church of Laodicea is rich. God says, you're poor. What's God saying? No. He's not talking about monetary. He's talking about in the bank of heaven, you may have all the money in the world down here, and you'll be broke as Job's turkey up there. Well, he says right the opposite of the church of Smyrna. He says, y'all may not have a whole lot of money in the bank, but up here in the bank of heaven, you're rich. Now, which one had you rather be? Now, I'm not saying, have things and all that stuff. That's good. I'm for that. But what I'm saying is, the Bible says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's where our bank account is. And so, this is what God says. He says, poverty, but thou art rich. In other words, up here in my book, you're rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Now watch this. The church at Ephesus, you had people coming in going, I'm an apostle, I'm an apostle, I'm an apostle. The church says, okay, prove it. And found them to be liars. That's what Ephesians says. Or the church of Ephesus says. All right, now this church, we're moving, 200, 300 AD. This era. Now you got people coming in. The Roman, watch, get ready. The Roman government, the Roman Empire comes in and goes, hey, y'all are no longer Jews. We are the new Jews. We're amillennial. We're here to replace the Jew. We're here to take over your Jerusalem. Jerusalem doesn't belong to you. It belongs to us. Well, this is what God says. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. I didn't say it. God said it was. Hey, those people are coming in going, hey, you Jews, you bunch of Jews, hey, y'all are not Jews. We're the real Jews. We're here to replace you. Replacement theology. Well, I got news for you. Replacement theology, that's nowhere in the Bible. The church was not here to replace the Jew. God is not done with the nation of Israel. God's going to do something with them. Right now, they're in time out. They got the nose stuck in the corner over there. They don't realize that Jesus is the Messiah. But one day, God's going to start the clock back on them, and he will finish what he said he would do with the nation of Israel. Leave them alone. Don't mess with them, because they'll surprise you. Little bitty old nation, they'll surprise you. Let me remind you of the Six-Day War. They whooped everybody in 6 days. And was still wanting more. Come on, come on, come on. You don't mess with nobody like that. They got somebody on their side that you know not of. Leave them alone. They're God's chosen people. We're not here to replace them. I'm just glad I'm a part of the body of Christ. I'm going up as the bride of Christ. And so here we got the Roman church coming in saying, hey, we're here to take over. We're here to, hey, them Muslims over there, they are fighting over that Temple Mount. That's what the Jews say, that's our ground. Muslims say, nope, that's our ground. And it's all because of a man named Abraham. God says, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. He's going to be the promised seed. His name is going to be Isaac. Well, Abraham's going, well, when's that going to be? Well, hold on. Abraham, get somewhere and sit down, hold on. That's what it means in Hebrew. Amen. Abraham got tired of holding on. He says, well, let me help God out. Now, don't you know we get in trouble when we say, well, let me help you out. You know, I know more about this than you do. Let me help you out. And Sarah, his wife, says, I got a good idea. Go in under the lady that washes the dishes over there. He did, and had a boy by the name of Ishmael. And when he was born with a diaper on his head. Twirled around on top. And he is the father of the Islamic nations.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
If Abraham would have just waited, Abraham finally, Sarah, in their old age, has a child named Isaac. Ishmael says, my dad is Abraham. That's my land. Isaac says, I know, but you ain't the promised seed. I'm from Sarah. Ishmael says, well, I'm from Hagar. That's my property. Isaac, it's two half brothers fighting over the same piece of property. Amen. One of them says it's mine, the other says it's mine, and that's what's going on in the Middle East. It's real cut and dry, it's real simple. I got news for them. If they'll just listen to me, it belongs to Isaac. Give him his land. He's going to get it in the end anyway. Amen. You can fight over all you want to, but Isaac's going to get the land that his father, God the Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, promised him. And those Jews are going to come into that land. Nobody's going to be able to stop that. It's going to happen. So anyway, this is what happened. Now look at verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that he may be tried, or that you may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Notice what it says in verse 10. Talking about, don't worry about these things. The devil's going to cast some of you into prison. Now you picture this. Picture this church right here. Just picture it for a second. In the middle of the tribulation period. Do you notice the key words? The key word in verse 9. I know thy works and tribulation. Notice tribulation. Verse 10. Fear not those things which thou shalt suffer. For the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. It sounds like tribulation. Amen. You know what this church has got to do in the middle of the tribulation? If you miss the rapture and you don't make it in the rapture, you're going to have to go into the tribulation. And there is a physical salvation that's going to come. And it's going to be based upon Matthew 24:13. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. And if he endures unto the end and don't take the mark of the beast, he will get to inherit a physical kingdom called the millennial kingdom. That's what he's talking about. But let me spiritualize this thing right here for you, the Roman persecution. You say, what did they do? Well, they persecuted them. Fox's Book of Martyrs will tell you all about it. They killed these Christians. The Roman church would kill Christians for reading their Bible. They'd kill them for getting baptized. The church had to go underground and hide out to have church. They could have church on Highway 51 bypass tonight. No, they'd come in here and kill all of us. We'd have to go find us a basement somewhere and hide out and have church. We don't know anything about persecution. If they refuse to bow down and worship Mary, they'd kill them. If they refuse to honor the Pope as though he were Christ himself, they would kill him. Persecution. We hadn't seen persecution like that. It was a martyred church. You know what they'd do? They'd take all the Christians. They'd put them in an arena. They'd put some of them on crosses and light a fire and let them die a slow death from the ankles all the way up to the top of the head, burn from there all the way to the top. Slow, agonizing death. While other Christians are over here and they let the lions loose on them. Yeah. Feed them to the lions. Why? Because they would not renounce Christ. Amen. They said, "You renounce Christ, we'll get you out of here." They said, we're Christians. Amen. We haven't seen persecution, people. Amen. And let me say this. I'm not gloom, doom, and despair and agony on me kind of preacher, but I'm telling you this. If the Lord don't hurry up and come back, we're headed back for these days right here. Guarantee you. It's coming to a city near you. Get ready. They're already taking your guns away. All right? They're already trying to take... They've already taken your Bible out of the school system so your kids can't read it. They've already classified us Christians as the real terrorists. They've already told the chaplains and the military, can't share Christ. Oh, you want to share Allah, Buddha? Oh, that's fine. Just don't share Christ. Isn't it odd that they can get their rugs out and pray anytime they get ready and stop traffic in New York City? But we can't put a manger scene at the courthouse. Does anybody see anything wrong with that?
Yes, sir.
It seems like the freedom of religion in America is for all religions except for one. Yeah, something about it. It's what they do. They'd take them, put them in the arena, and they would, I mean, thousands of people would gather to watch. This was like, folks, they didn't have Nintendo games. They didn't have American Idol on television tonight. They didn't have Dancing with the Stars and Miley Cyrus and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, they didn't have As the World Burns. They didn't have All My Illegitimate Children. They didn't have that. This was their recreation. And they would get on the megaphone and say, "Boy, we got some Christians. Y'all come down and watch." They'd let the lions loose on them. And boy, they'd cheer. Ah, my. It's Church of Smyrna. This is what they'd do. They'd tie some of them to the stake. They'd soak them in tar and burn them. They'd put them in bags, toe sacks with rattlesnakes, tie the top up, throw the sack over into the river in a sack full of rattlesnakes. Why? For what? Because they trusted Christ as their personal Savior. Because they wouldn't bow down to the Pope. They wouldn't pray to Mary. My, my. I'll tell you what, a fellow by the name of Pius. You say these 10 days of persecution. I don't know what all that is. Could be 10 days. Could be 10 Roman persecutions. There were 10 Roman persecutions from Nero to Diocletian. There were 10 of them in between there. I don't know if that's what he was talking about. I have no idea. All I know is there were 10 Roman persecutions there. And it could have been what he was referring to here. I have no idea. But this is what I do know. There was a fellow by the name of Pius. And a nice, big, nice house. Have y'all ever at your house, you know, you buy these things at Walmart. They got, you stick them in the ground. You line your driveway up with them, you know. And you get, what's in there? It's oil or whatever. You slide it and all of them light up. And they sort of just light your driveway up real pretty. Or you put them on the back of your deck. Light your deck up. You know, you're out there, y'all just sitting, just having a big time, and they'd like those things every so many feet, and boy, in everything, and it looks real good. You with me?
Yeah.
What?
Tiki torches.
Tiki torches. Well, that's what they are. Well, they didn't have tiki torches back then. So you know what Pius did when he got ready to have a party on his back porch? He'd get stakes and line them ever so many feet along his driveway and along his back porch. And he'd hang Christians on those. And he'd light them up.
Yes, sir.
And they would sit on their back porch and have parties.
Yeah.
As the Christians were lighting the, for them to see, to have a party. The Roman persecution. The church of Smyrna. We haven't seen persecution. I wonder what would happen, ladies and gentlemen. I wonder what would happen if some... And can I... I hate to tell you, but this day could come where they march right in the back door back there and say, "All right, if you don't renounce Christ, we're fixing to start shooting." What we do now? Now, I'm not going to stand up here and try to, you know, play the big guy and say, "Bless God, I'm standing." You don't know what you're going to do till it happens. I know what I want to do. And I know what I think I'll do. But when you got my kids up here and wife, family, well, you I mean, you know, hey. I don't know. I know they'd cut their arms off and they would do all kinds of things. Say, "Why are you telling us this?" It's because the church today has neither cold nor hot. We have forgotten what those people went through so we could walk into this building tonight, park our car out in the, on the pavement out here, and just bebop in and with a Bible under our arm and sing songs like "It Is Well With My Soul." It's because people like that died and would not renounce Christ so we could be in here doing what we're doing tonight. We've forgotten that. And we need to get back to that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. There was a fella. I don't know. They say that a fella by the name of Polycarp was the preacher at this church at the time when John was writing. I don't know. Have no idea. This is what I can tell you. Polycarp. He lived from 69 A.D. to 155 A.D. He was a friend of the Apostle John. He refused to recant his faith. They followed him, and he was hiding out. They found him, and these soldiers grabbed him and brought him in. He said, "Soldiers, before y'all turn me in to the Roman government, would you allow me to pray?" And they said, "Well, sure. You're under arrest. We'll let you pray." He prayed for one solid hour. And I'm not talking about just, "Lord, lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. Lord, bless the food. Amen." No, no. He got a hold of God. And after he prayed for an hour, the guys that arrested him said, "How can we be saved and trust Christ?" He was already under arrest. Those guys were sorry that they arrested that man. They got saved. They brought him in and arrested him. And the government says, "Polycarp, you swear. And I'll release you if you'll reproach Christ." Polycarp said, "86 years have I served him. And he never once wronged me. How then shall I blaspheme my king?"
Amen.
So what they did, they tied him to a stake. Y'all with me? I'm closing. Hang on. Some of you just did the Baptist salute on me. They tied him to a stake. Put all the wood around him. And lit the fire. The fire was burning around him and not on him.
Right.
And he just standing. So somebody got mad. And one of them said, Stab him. And they took a spear and stabbed him a few times in his side. There was so much blood, it put the fire out. They couldn't keep a fire. Amen. Now you say, why are you laughing? Because God is up there. Yeah. Death to a Christian? Really? Oh, you want to send me to heaven early? Really?
Amen.
And renounce Christ, we're going to kill you. Really? They told John R. Rice one time, he said, called him in his motel and said, if you go to that pulpit preacher and preach, I'm going to be in that audience, I'm going to have a gun with me, and I'm going to shoot you. He said, sir, are you really threatening me to go see Jesus? He went ahead and preached that night. The fellow with the gun came down, got saved that night.
Amen.
And finally, Polycarp died. Folks, well, let me read the last verse so I can say we at least finished it. He said, thou be faithful unto death. I think he was. And I will give thee a crown of life. That was a martyr's crown. It's found in James chapter 1, if you want to look at it sometime. I think it's about verse 12 or so, I think. Somewhere along in there. Yeah, but James 1:12. If you want to read it sometime, a crown of life. It's a martyr's crown. It's a crown that a lot of people will get in the tribulation period that endure to the end. There may be some folks that get it today. Probably some of them kids out in some of those schools that wouldn't renounce Christ and they killed them. They might get a martyr's crown. I don't know. Verse 11 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. I run out of time and I really don't have time to deal with this in a doctrinal sense. Anyway, we'll do that maybe at another time. But there's some doctrinal applications there. Him that overcometh. Let me just give you this before we close. People in this age right today, we're not trying to overcome. When I trusted Christ, I have already overcome. And for these folks in the tribulation, it'll be just a little different for them. They're going to have to endure a whole lot of things. But anyway, folks, I don't know about y'all, but I'm under conviction tonight. We hadn't seen what these folks have seen. We hadn't been through what these people have been through. And I'm sad to say, sometimes we treat God like he's just an old doormat. But them people right there trusted God. We sung the first song, we sung, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. So many testimonies of them when they were burning at the stake. So many testimonies of the look on their face. No pain. You couldn't tell they were in any pain whatsoever. God give them dying grace as they crossed on over to the other side. Roman persecution. Well, hallelujah. Thank the Lord I'm saved.
Amen.
And I'm on the winning side. Amen.